Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
All right, so let me tell you about the first time I spoke in a church as an adult. Kevin was just brand new associate pastor at the Elgin Vineyard, and another area vineyard, their pastor was out of town for the weekend, and so they invited us to come take their service. And so Kevin was going to preach, and it was a communion Sunday, so Kevin said, Molly, why don't you do the communion Devo? And I thought, okay, short, pretty simple, like I can do the communion Devo. And so after worship, it was time for the communion Devo. So I come up to the stage, and they didn't have a podium. Instead, they had just a music stand. And so I put my notes, and then I put my big Bible on the music stand. And it was one of those flimsy music stands that just flew forward. And I was taken off guard, and I'm like, whoa, you know, and I'm like grabbing my Bible. And I was like looking out at everyone, and they were just looking back at me like you are right now. And it was so awkward and uncomfortable. And I didn't know what to do. And I just started laughing. Like, I just was like laughing hysterically about this like mess that I did. And everyone's still staring at me in quiet, like still staring at me. And I'm like, now what do I do? Like, I'm laughing and they're not laughing. And all I could do was laugh more. And I'm just, it's like this solemn, like sacred moment. And I have lost it. And I had no idea. I was like, how do I get this back? What do I do? I think Kevin finally came up and rescued me, but I had no words. I needed words in that moment. Like, how do I, give me a script. I need the monitor, right? What do I say when this is all falling off the rails? And I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't have the words you need? You are without words, and you just wish someone handed you the cue card that you could just follow along. Well, this happens to us regularly, right? Like maybe it's an uncomfortable or an awkward situation and you were like, I don't know what to say to follow that up. Or maybe it's like that emotional moment where emotions are just going. They are just flaring and you're like, I don't know. It can't be trusted. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth right now. But I know that I cannot be trusted with words. Or maybe you're going through a season where, you are looking to pray. And you know that this moment calls for prayer, but you don't have the words to pray. Maybe it's a season where you're grieving and or maybe you just feel too vulnerable and you just don't have, you don't have words to stand on, or you're in a season where you're especially tired or drained. You're maybe a new mom or you're sick and you just are like, I don't even have the strength to put the prayer together. This moment calls for prayer, but I don't have what I need to put this prayer together right now. Or maybe your mind is just going 1,000 places at once, like most of our everyday life. And you're like, I just am too distracted. Could someone just give me the script? Well, this morning, I want to encourage this habit in your life of praying a scripted prayer, praying a scripted prayer. Now, my knee-jerk reaction, don't have words, to a scripted prayer is like, do they really count? Like, isn't it more spirit-filled to pray a spontaneous prayer? Isn't spontaneous more authentic? Isn't that like, you know, a real prayer? And these scripted prayers, like, and I know why we do that, because often scripted prayers can feel like just going through routine. It's just rote. And we're just saying the words to say the words to get through the prayer. And we don't have a feeling attached to it. We don't feel like there's like heart behind it, right? And I was thinking about this dilemma that I sometimes run into, like between scripted and spontaneous, and which is better and which should we focus on. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was reminding me, Molly, remember your wedding vows? And he said, were those scripted words? I'm like, yes, those were prepared ahead of time. Those were scripted words. And he said, well, were they powerful? Yes, those were powerful words. Why? Because I meant what I said, right? I meant what I said in that moment. And so I want to encourage us to dig into, I'm going to give us a scripted prayer to dig in. I want us to take the meaning behind the words and start maybe re-exercising this scripted prayer as a habit in our lives. And so we can, like like Jesus, we can pick up the one lesson that Jesus actually taught his disciples. Not the one lesson, but that one lesson that the disciples actually asked Jesus to teach them. Do you remember he said to them, Jesus, teach us to pray. This was the only thing of all the other things. Like, they were with Jesus. They were watching him do daily ministry. They were watching him do miracles. And they never said, Jesus, teach us to do miracles. Jesus, teach us to heal leprosy like you did. Jesus, teach us to turn water into wine. That would be awesome, right? Jesus, teach us how to speak to the weather and to calm. They never asked. No, the one ask was, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And we see this in Luke 11, right there, where the disciples are like, hey, this is the, we need to know the Jesus way to pray. And these were Jewish boys. They grew up, they knew prayer. They grew up praying, recited prayers, regular prayers, three times a day. They knew how to pray. It was part of their custom and their culture, right? But they're saying, Jesus, the way you pray is different. We see the way that you sneak away regularly to be with the Father. And we see the way that prayer is for you. It's a delight. It doesn't seem to be a burden to you. And we see the way you live your life and you interact with people. Like, yes, the miracles, but the mercy and the forgiveness and the patience that you display in your day-to-day relationships. And we see the wisdom, what comes out of your mouth and how you handle situations. That's what we want. Like, we want that because we see that this extraordinary life that you have, that you are drawing something from the Father. You're drawing this connection from the Father in prayer. And that's what we want. Teach us to pray like that. And so Jesus answers this request, and he says this. This is going to be so familiar. In Matthew 6:9, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I feel like we have to be saying this together, don't you? Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, why is it so quiet? We're praying the Lord's Prayer. All right, let's pray this together. We're going to start with our Father in heaven. Are you ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Excellent. So we're going to go through this prayer line by line today. And here's the context for this prayer. Jesus intended his followers and us today to pray this prayer every day, actually multiple times a day. And so we have to go, okay, what was in this prayer that Jesus was intending us to pray over and over and over again, that we can get the context, because every line speaks to how we were designed to live, how we are designed to live in our day, in our culture, in our families, in our workplace. Every single line was meant to mold us into God's, the storyline that he is writing for us. And so we have to get into that. What is the meaning? Why did you pick that? Why is that in this prayer? So let's start from the beginning, our Father in heaven. Now, one of my favorite things is when someone just comes to know Jesus, they just start following Jesus, and they first start praying for the first time. But one of the biggest hurdles is this: how do I start? Like, what do I say to God? Like, you know, we've been in context with unbelievers, and, you know, they just are, they pray to, like, you know, to nature. They pray to what, like, it's like, how do I address God, right? Growing up in the Velada household, my mom and dad taught us to pray, and we had the same start to our prayer every single day, over and over again, and it was always, Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Like, it didn't matter if it wasn't a beautiful day. It didn't matter how you were, you know, this is just how we did it. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Now, the other funny thing about our household is my parents were very particular about phone manners. And so they taught us from a very, very early age, when we started answering the landline, that one of the two landline phones in the house, right? We would answer it, and this was the greeting that they asked us to say. Velada residents, Molly speaking. And so every time the phone rang, hello, Velada residents, Molly speaking. And we're in our family, we're fast talkers. But back then, we were really, really fast talkers. And we would answer the phone, Velada residents, Molly speaking. And you'd always hear this, like, pause, like, hello? hello? Like, they are always like, is this, like, we threw them off. Like, who am I calling? What are you saying? Why are you answering the phone like that? Right? Well, one day the phone rings and my little sister, you know, is in this mode. And she picks up the phone. She goes, "Our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day." Crossing some lines there, right? Wait, hold on. So, but this is the deal. Jesus was like, this is how you start prayer. Our Father in heaven. And what he's saying is I want you to start in this first place, the place that I get with the Father. I'm inviting you to address, to approach, to know God in this way. Remember right before Jesus ascended, he said in, I think it's John 20, he said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to my Father and your Father. And what he meant is how I relate to the Father, every bit that I have with him of connection and depth and rights that I have with him, you now have. And so I want you all the way in. You are not a half, you know, a step child. There, you are not Cinderella in the house here. Everything that I get with the Father, you now get, you now have. And we know Jesus called, he addressed the Father, he called him Abba, right? Which means daddy, daddy in Greek. And it was like the most informal, the softest, the most relational, informal, affectionate term that you could have for Father. And we are just invited all the way into that type of relationship. And I have a couple of our dads here. Just, you know what daddy looks like, right? Like daddy looks like the closest, coziest. Do we have them, those pictures? Yeah, okay. You know, the closest, I'm looking at that screen. Okay. Cozy is like, get right in there, you know, like, and kids are just at home, like, I'm on your back, I'm on your shoulders, I'm in your lap, wherever it may be, right? As close as I can be to you, I get to snuggle into your armpit, right? I get to pretend like I'm driving, but we really know who's driving, right? Yes, this is daddy. And we start prayer this way. We approach God as daddy with full rights of a child of God. And this is so important because I think of when we think of God often, we know that he is powerful. And we think of his power and we tend to depersonalize power, don't we? We just have this vague sense like God's a force. He's just a force of creation, a force that's behind everything. Our knee-jerk reaction then becomes distant, right? Jesus is telling us he's not a force, he's a father. He's not distant, he's daddy. So when we approach him in prayer, we come in, our Father. And this is a hard thing for us to get our mind around, the intimacy of that relationship that we are designed to have with him, the love that we are designed to know right up on his lap. That this is a hard thing for us to really embrace. So he said, pray this all the time, our Father in heaven. Throughout your day, reminders and reminders and reminders, you are my Father in heaven, but you are my Father. And so we pray it, and the more we pray it, the more it works its way into our identity and our daily lives. That's why Jesus put it in the prayer that we're to pray every day, our Father in heaven. And then the next line is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Now, what does it mean if something is hallowed? You know? Holy, yes, it means it's holy, it's sacred, it's beyond common, it's set apart. So even though that God is close as a father, he's still totally other, isn't he? He is completely in a class, a category all of his own. And so when Jesus invites us to hallow your name, it means that we get to hold who God is, his nature, in highest honor, in highest regard. We recognize him as completely other and set apart. So when we pray this, we're saying, essentially, I love this idea, but we're saying, I will set apart your name. I will recognize your name as great in my life. You will be awed by me right now. And I find it rather easy to hallow God in certain contexts, like when we're at Acadia National Park. You know, you're out hiking in the mountains, and there's like the water is there, and the blue sky. Like it's easy to hallow God's name. Has anyone been in the mountains? Don't you just hallow God's name in the mountains, right? Or like maybe in the forest preserve on like the crispest autumn morning. It's kind of like, oh God, thank you. Look what you've made. I'm surrounded by your glory and I can hallow your name. But what about the 95% of our life when we're not out in the mountaintops and in nature? What about when we're at work and we're in the grind of getting those deadlines and doing our projects, and maybe the only nature that we see is the screensaver that pops up at lunchtime? Right? Like, what about the rest of our life? Well, that's why we have this prayer, because it's so easy to lose connection with awe and the greatness of God when lives start bumping, right? It's really, really hard to do that. So we have this prayer set before us that we can hallow God's name while we go about our everyday lives. We can hallow God's name in the middle of the night when we're praying this prayer. We can hallow God's name when we're not feeling crazy, when there's not a circumstance to draw us in, when we're not in the 90-minute worship service on a Sunday morning. We can hallow God's name when we're running errands. And then more and more consistently across our lives, we take part in this deliberate, ongoing process of, God, you will be recognized right now in my life as great. And it becomes a habit. And it becomes part of our very being. It works its way in. And then when we hit those dark nights and those isolated times and those you know, times that are just absolute, we're besides ourselves, we have this muscle memory built in to our system. And we could be like Joseph and David and Daniel, where we're like, I can bow my knee right now. Even when this present moment doesn't seem to be part of my plan, I can bow my knee because I know what it's like to hallow your name across it all anyways, right? Your name will be hallowed in my life. And my prayer is that as you start doing this, as you start praying this prayer regularly, that this one little line, hallowed be your name, will become so meaningful that you'll have my experience. This week, some nights, I would be praying this prayer in the middle of the night, and I got to this line, hallowed be your name. And I would just have to stay there. Hallowed be your name. And then again, and I got to the point where I couldn't finish the rest of the prayer because I'm stuck in this, just, hallowed be your name. And that's my prayer for you guys, is that this will become so meaningful that it'll just go so deep into our hearts. Hallowed be your name. And then the next line, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so we need to think of this concept of God's will as desire, God's desire. So we know that God has desire for this earth, right? And we also know, we've talked about this quite a bit recently, but that God's perfect will, his perfect desire, his rule is actually fully manifest now in heaven, right? But that this land, that every square inch of our life, of this land, is actually contested space. It is up for grabs. And that God has a will, he has an ideal, but it is in the process of being realized on the land, right? It's in the process of coming fully on the land. But this process happens through humans. And Jesus got this. He knew that his mission was to bring the rule or reign of God as it is in heaven to the earth. He knew that. He knew that he was here to just take a step forward with the kingdom, to bring God's kingdom a little bit more to the earth with every step that he took. And this is how he saw the world, right? So he went about his day and he was looking through his everyday life with this lens. And so he'd run into a woman who was bent over, who was crippled, you know, her back was crippled. And he sees this woman and he sees her and he knows because of the lens, she's bound by the evil one. And so he goes and he prays for her and he touches her. And in that moment, God's kingdom, his desire is realized in her body, right? She's healed and she's set free. And so then we have this amazing invitation when Jesus is asking us to pray this line, that we too get to participate in that same process, that it's our job as God's image bearers to bring together his perfect will, his desires in heaven to the earth. That's what we get to do. And so every day then is like this, the stage is set. It's like a contest of kingdoms or desires as we go about this life. So will today be a day where a little more heaven arrives on the earth through me? Well, that's what I want to participate in today, right? What's this day going to be about? Will there be a little bit more establishment of the kingdom of heaven here on the earth as I go about my day? So this prayer prepares us to be on the lookout like Jesus was, doesn't it? This prayer prepares us already to be in that mindset, to have that lens that I get to see my day as numerous opportunities for the kingdom of heaven to invade earth. And I'm ready because I've been praying this prayer. I've been praying this prayer every day throughout the day as I go. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, give us today our daily bread. Here's where our practical needs finally surface, right? Here we go. And as the disciples, as these Hebrew men heard this line, they have an instant callback to a moment in their history. They have an instant callback to that time in Israel's history where they were going from Egypt to the promised land and they were walking through the wilderness and they were not able to bring enough supplies for every day for all the years that they were going to be in this journey, right? And so here they are without any supplies, without any ability to get food or water for themselves. They were 100% dependent on God to provide what they needed for the day, literally for survival. And in this place of their desperation, their dependence, and that real need, that hunger, God does something amazing. He brings manna to them. He, first of all, makes manna, and then he brings it. He puts it out on the grass all around the camp, and he tells them, go out and gather what you need for today. I'm going to provide, and you just go out and gather in what you need. Go get your daily bread. And so here in this prayer, Jesus is saying, you're not asking for a month's supply. That's not the prayer. The prayer wasn't fill our barns with enough wheat so that we can make bread for the next several years of our life, this next season or stage of our lives. No, it was a prayer for the moment, wasn't it? Where Jesus wants us to focus on God's provision will meet me today. What he supplies will be enough for today, sufficient for today's demands. That the trust on God stays really present in this prayer. And I've been praying this prayer lately. I've been really meditating on the whole bit of the Lord's Prayer the last several weeks, but specifically this line where I've been asking God, you know what? You need to bring it to me. Over the last couple weeks, I've just been praying, you need to bring healing to me. You need to bring answers to me. Where I've gotten to the point with, you know, I do a lot of like, well, I'll search for that and I'll search for this and I'll find out this and I'll try at that. And I've just been putting it all before him saying, you have to bring it to me. Go. I'm asking for manna. I'm in the season right now where I am going to rest and wait on you. Will you bring me the insight? Will you bring me the help that I need? And I you guys know what that's like, right? Where God provides, where all of a sudden you get like someone texts you like a scripture. You're like, oh, that was my manna for today. Or you're a YouTube, a sermon pops up, right? And you were like, that is it. This is speaking directly to me. That's what I needed today. Or sometimes it's even through like, it's not through scripture or whatever. It's just, sometimes I'll be in a movie and I'll see something and it's like, God is like speaking like so clearly, right? Like that's manna, him just bringing it to us. Well, I have been praying this little specific line for the past 2 weeks. And I have to tell you that God has provided so miraculously for me in these last few weeks. Like I can tell you that that prayer, that thing has worked for me in the past 2 weeks. It has been stunning what God has done. Like I am a firm believer. Like I'm like, please pray this prayer. Please join me in praying this prayer because the blessing that comes like of just being like, okay, this is where I'm at right now, God, you bring it. You bring me what I need. And this keeps us close to God for our needs. And that's where he wants to be as a good father, right? That's where he wants to be. So God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to provide out of nowhere, just like you did with the Israelites, because you're the God who makes manna. Give me today my daily bread. Okay. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Now, Kevin spoke on this last week and it did an awesome job. Go back and listen to the whole thing because I'm going to do a real quick overview version of it. But forgiveness, Kevin told us this, forgiveness was so important to Jesus. It was so important to him. And he gives us this line to pray every single day. Why? Because our basic human experience is that we get hurt by people. And Jesus knew that, right? And in those moments, we have to choose. How am I going to relate to that person? How am I going to relate to this situation? What am I going to do? We make these decisions many times a day. How are we going to feel about them? And so Jesus wants us to pray about forgiveness every single day, many times a day, to get us ready to forgive, to get us mentally prepared to forgive. Now, if that is tricky for you, I really believe at the heart of being prepared mentally to forgive is knowing what we have been given, that we have been forgiven. So in Jesus' teaching, he talks often about this, getting this idea of I am forgiven into our identity, because when we really get it, then we can give it. And he teaches that if you're stingy with forgiveness, which we are, right? Sometimes I'm stingy with forgiveness. That's a red flag for me to go back and go, Holy Spirit, I need new revelation of my forgiveness. I need new revelation of my identity, that I am forgiven and what I'm forgiven of. Because if you really want to translate the scripture, what it says is this prayer is, God, set me free so I can live in a way that sets other people free. That's what it's all about. And we get ready with this prayer, we get ready. And then when we have those little spots where we're like, oh, I couldn't give that, I go back and draw from the Father. Show me again what forgiveness has been like in my life. Give me a fresh glimpse, a fresh insight of what I have. So then I can just go like, yes, here's mercy, right? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Does God lead us into temptation? That's like is that where we have to stop and ask, like, what am I praying? Does God lead us into temptation? Well, we have this Matthew 4 scripture that we have to deal with, where it says this: then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. Well, okay, so we have to get context for this whole encounter that's going to happen right here. And this shoots us back to Deuteronomy 8:2, and this is what we read. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, and in your hunger, he gave you the manna to eat, which neither you nor your fathers had known, so that you might understand that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I can't do the whole thing that's happening here with Jesus and the devil, but here's what we need to know. What is the purpose of the test? What does it say? What's the purpose of the test? Right before that. To know what's in your heart, or right after that, to know what is in your heart, good, and to humble, yes, they go together, but to know what is in your heart. So what's going on with Jesus in Matthew 4? Well, Matthew 4 is right after Matthew 3, where Jesus is baptized by John, and as in that baptism moment, the Holy Spirit lands on him, descends on him, physically on him, covers him as a symbol of what he has been filled with, and at the same time, he's surrounded by the voice of the Father saying, you're my son, in whom I am well pleased. I delight in you. You have my complete love. You walk in it. You're saturated in it, right? So go from that scene to then this testing time, where he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where the devil offers him power and offers him his own way and independence from the Father, you know, another source of life. And this is the question in the moment. The test is not, it's not like, you know, a test that you will fail Jesus. No, you are completely set up to succeed in this moment, in this test. Will you pull from what is in your heart, your identity, the depths of the love of God, the Spirit that is in you, will you pull that out of your heart and will you stand on it? Will you put all your weight on that, Jesus, in this testing moment? And what Jesus did in that moment, when he pulled from his identity with the Father, where he pulled on what he had been given, he was able to overcome the enemy. And from here on out, he is rock solid. He knows there is nothing that can separate me from the Father's love. He enters into the rest of his life, the ministry, the things that he's called to do with this foundation of, oh, no, what my Father has provided, that works. That holds, right? Isn't that what we do when we test something? Does it work? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so that testing is actually, again, in the goodness of God. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows what is ahead. He has these great plans. And so in that testing is actually to pull something out that you will stand on for the rest of your days. And that's what it's like to be tested. It's not cruel. God is never evil. He is never meaning, and he's not a trick to see, you know, are you going to pass or fail? Like, you know, are you going to pass or fail this? I've given you everything you need to succeed. Will you pull from it? Will you pull from it, right? And we all will have this testing. We will. It says in 1 Peter 4:12, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Don't be surprised that this testing is of something strange were happening to you. Why? Because we've been praying this prayer. We've been praying this prayer. We pray it every day. We pray it a couple times a day. I won't be caught off guard. I actually know what this is about. I'm pulling out of what I've been given, knowing it will hold me. It will hold me in this. It will hold me through this. Your love will never fail. And so this is what happens in that test. We pray, God, you know what? You know I'm weak. I don't want to be tested. Don't test me, but if you test me, just deliver me, right? We pray that prayer all the time. So here is my ask of us, church. I am asking that we will revive the routine of this scripted prayer that Jesus gave us. Again, knowing exactly the story that we would live in this day, that he gave us line by line these words that would mold us into the abundant life that he designed for us. Knowing what you're going to need in every context, in every day, everything that you face, everything that you're going through, that there is something in here that needs to be on your lips from your heart to overcome, that our life would be molded into this greatest story, and that we just reorient ourselves, that we're constantly kind of reorienting ourselves to God's ways, to what he has. And I want these words, guys, as we pray them, I'm asking us just to take the rest of the month of September and just to pray this prayer every day. Pray it every day. If you haven't memorized it yet, memorize it. And you will as you pray it every day. You'll memorize it, right? Pray it every single day because I want these words. I want them to inspire mercy in your life. I want them to inspire trust, worship, impactful living across your life. And I think this lesson is worth repeating. All right, why don't we stand up?